May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. This has absolutely nothing to do with my sermon whatsoever, but I want to know how many of you watch Downton Abbey regularly? Okay, all right, not as many as I thought. Well, as I say, that has nothing to do with my sermon. I want to talk to you this morning, or at least begin my sermon, talking to you about colics. Probably you haven't spent a lot of time thinking about colics. And the word is pronounced colic, even though when you see it printed in your program, as you do fairly close to the top of the page, on the first page of your program, it looks like collect. As in, why don't we collect up all those loose bulletins on the pews? Why it's pronounced colic, I'm not really sure, other than it must be some sort of British quirk. You know, they have those, some of those Brits. Kind of like potato comes out potato, and collect comes out collect. At any rate, most of our Sunday services begin with two colics. The first is the collect for purity, the one that begins, Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known. And that's really meant to open ourselves up truly and lovingly to God's Spirit. It's also, I think, meant to be a reminder that no matter how clever we might think we are, there really isn't anything we can hide from God. So it's sort of trying to put us in the right mood. But then, soon after we sing the Gloria or some other hymn of praise,
yes, very well.
Comes another collect. And that is called the collect of the day. And if you would turn to page 2.
That was with you. You're back to me.
It's called the collect of the day because it's meant to collect up one or more themes, or it's meant to at least discern some kind of theme that runs through one or more of the scripture lessons appointed to be read at the Sunday service. And so the collect of the day changes every single week, and the collect for purity is always the same. But the collect changes because the lessons on Sunday change. So let's look at this collect for the last Sunday after the Epiphany. And I'd like you to look at it and actually pray it with me, and we'll say the words fairly slowly so you can kind of think about what it is you're saying and praying. Let us pray. O God,
who before the passion of your only begotten Son revealed his glory upon the holy mountain, grant to us that we, beholding by faith the light of his countenance, may be strengthened to bear our cross and be changed into his likeness from glory to glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Now, there are, at least to my view, two threads running through this collect, and they also appear particularly in the gospel lesson we just heard from Luke. They are threads that run through the entire season of Lent, which, by the way, begins this coming Wednesday night, or actually Wednesday, with Ash Wednesday, and lasts for 40 days, if you don't count the Sundays, and leads us to Easter on the 31st of March. Anyway, back to the threads. These two threads are discernible in the life of Jesus. They run through my life, and I'm sure they can be found in the midst of your life. Like threads, they are sensitive and delicate. Yet they also have the strength of two steel cables when they're combined together. These are threads that can bind us together or pull us apart. They can lead us closer to God, or conversely, they can pull us into a pit of misery. One thread is love, the other is pain. While we might want them to remain separate and distinct, the truth is that they are inseparably linked to each other. The gist of this morning's collect is that we might really then hold on to the light of Jesus' countenance. In other words, finally appreciate at a visceral level the truth of who Jesus is, as he was revealed to Peter, James, and John. The truth of Jesus that he is indeed God's love made real in human flesh, and there is a potential for that to be made real in our human flesh. Love that becomes more real as we enter deeply into a relationship with Jesus. What we pray for in this collect is that in knowing this great countenance, inexhaustible love, we might then be strengthened to bear our cross. And our cross, no matter what it might be or will be, always brings with it some degree of pain. In this morning's gospel, we heard that Jesus was revealed to Peter, James, and John as God's beloved Son. And after this revelation, Jesus then makes a pointed reference to the painful events that inevitably will lead to his final and agonizing death in Jerusalem. In Jesus' life, as in ours, pain and love dwell side by side. Do you ever question, why is life this way? Why is it a mixture of good and bad? And just when it seems to be going so good, things can go bad just like that? Why is there love and then pain? Why can't my life and the people in it be more the way I want them to be? Answers to these kinds of questions don't come easily or completely. And in the questionings and challengings of life, it's very tempting to settle for discouragement or else deceptively easy answers. It's tempting to just give up asking these kinds of tough questions and settle for less in ourselves and others. We are indeed tempted. Temptation comes not just in the things we're tempted to do, but also in the attitudes that invite us to settle for less in ourselves than we really could be. We also settle for living in a society that often makes very bad choices. The insistence on the part of many to oppose tightening up on the easy availability of guns in our culture is but one example of a society that settles for being less than it ought to be. I was struck this morning as I was reading the newspaper, trying to wake up, about a Baptist church in Texas that, as a service to their parishioners and the community, is offering a course in how to handle concealed handguns. This is not, I think, probably the church at its best. Jesus was human, and he faced the very same kinds of temptations we face in our culture. Not about guns, but certainly about violence and hatred. Next Sunday, the first Sunday of Lent, the gospel lesson will be about how Jesus was tempted to cast aside his true vocation and instead to settle for personal power, pleasure, and lavish praise. This coming Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, we begin Lent, a season when we're meant to take our personal temptations seriously. We live in a time of endless distractions, where we're encouraged really to do our own thing and to look out for ourselves and our own interests, and above all else, to march to the beat of our own personal drummer. The Lenten season is meant to be a time for taking these distractions and temptations we face seriously. And therefore, it's a time where we're provided with an opportunity to see how our story is connected to Jesus' story. And to assist us in this process at All Souls, there are various Lenten worship services and opportunities. The point of these is to offer a venue where we can grow spiritually and deepen our faith and our relationship to Jesus. And here in this parish, the cornerstone of our Lenten observance is our Wednesday night program, this year running from the 20th of February to the 20th of March. And that Wednesday Lenten program this year consists of five evenings where we enter into the passion and death of Jesus through word and image after we've shared a soup, supper, and fellowship around tables of eight. And in tandem with all of this, the youth are going to be meeting and looking at the same events as they prepare for the Palm Sunday Passion Play. Also during Lent, for those of you who may want to know more about All Souls and what it means to follow Christ in the Episcopal Church, there is our catechumenate class. Or you can join the Sunday morning scripture study, which studies, like today, they study the scriptures that will be read next Sunday, and they do that at 9 o'clock every Sunday morning over in the parish house. Also, there's Episcopal Relief and Development that provides us with daily meditations during Lent, and those resources are available online, and I'm sure will be highlighted in next week's Pathfinder. Also, starting next Sunday, those nets that we can get every year during Lent for putting money into for the work of Episcopal Relief and Development in this country and around the world are going to be available. Now, maybe none of those things sound like maybe what you want to do with Lent. But fortunately, we have the internet. And if you Google Lenten study resources, you're going to find endless possibilities. But be sure and choose carefully. As you know, there's a lot of stuff that's not so helpful out there on the internet. And as I perused Lenten resources, study resources, some of those are right in there, so choose carefully. Well, as I alluded to earlier, Lent really is meant to be a time when we get in touch with those not so helpful forces and issues in our own lives. And part of that process of getting in touch is looking into ourselves and finding what it is we're really afraid of. Are we fearful that we're inadequate? Fearful that we have such character flaws and defects and such a sordid past history that God cannot possibly love us? This God from whom we can hide nothing but who we think we can. Are we fearful of making commitments? Are we fearful of trusting others? To journey with Jesus during Lent is to see him as he is. To see in his life and how he lived that life a willingness to face pain as he pursued loving a world that for the most part didn't love him back. Jesus understood that the love that God has for all of us is not based on scarcity. That is to say, there's only enough to love to go around for certain special folks. Jesus understood and taught over and over again, mostly to deaf ears, that God's love is God, is like God in God's perfect nature. Infinite, personal, always appropriate, and there's plenty to go around. Jesus was so in touch with this godly love that he could face the pain of his impending death. We're going to see this theme of love and pain many times during these next 7 weeks of the Lenten season. We'll see this theme in Jesus' life, in the lives of those who were his friends and his enemies, and hopefully we'll begin discovering anew how our love and our pain bind us then to a much larger story of God's healing love and hope for us and for our world. So I'd urge you, even though everything around us will be conspiring not to do this, I urge you to try and take the Lenten season seriously through whatever path you might decide to walk. Take Lent seriously and endure the pain of dying to your accustomed way of life and try something new. Look at your fears. Open yourself up to embrace the Holy Spirit of love. Love that in its abundance opens up for everyone new vistas. Take a chance at discovering how divine grace can and does transform both the threads of pain and the threads of love in your life. Can transform those two threads into a strong cord. A cord which will tie you ever more securely to God, who is indeed your creator, redeemer, and who sustains you and all of us every moment of every day. Amen.
Amen.